This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 17, 2022, Easter Sunday, by Father William Doc Holliday.
On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene cometh early. The words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I generally stand up here and we'll go through scripture, and I will say, don't look at this as just a history lesson, and I will do some application, spiritual, theological, whatever. But today, I want to talk about a history lesson. A lot of people don't look at the resurrection narratives as a history lesson, but that is indeed what they are. Pope St. Gregory the Great says, we see what happened so that we know what we must do now by way of imitation. Following the examples and learning from what was presented to us at the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the first part of the narrative, these women, they go to attend to our Lord Jesus Christ. These women, they served our Lord Jesus Christ while he was with them. Now that he's dead, they serve him even more fervently. They serve him with great care. They go to the tomb and they have carried pounds of ointment to anoint his body. They teach us something about faith. Both the women and the apostles teach us about faith. The women are a very positive example of faith. These women, it is undoubted. Why is it undoubted about their faith? Because of what they did, their works. They did not sit in their house and have faith. They went to the tomb. They sought the Lord Jesus, even when he was dead, even when he seemed absent to them. That's the kind of faith we want. We want a faith that you go to Mass on Sundays, and you read scripture, and you pray, hopefully. And that's when Jesus is present. That's how he makes himself present in our lives, particularly the Eucharist, where he is there presently, body, blood, soul, and divinity on our altars in a very true and real sense. But the other things, prayer, scripture, those things like that, it's still a matter of his presence. We never want to take that for granted, because there are times in life when Jesus does not seem to be present in our life. This is a reality. Things happen. People die. People get sick. People lose jobs, whatever. And all of a sudden, it seems like our Lord is absent. A good faith, a true faith, a believing faith is what these women demonstrated. Even when Jesus seems absent, you should ratchet up your prayer, your reading of scripture, your Mass attendance. These things are of great assistance to you. You should know that. The women did. They are an example for that. Then we have the example of the apostles. Kind of interesting. The apostles, these men walked with Jesus every single day. The women didn't. The women ministered him when he was around them. They didn't follow him around. They didn't hear the teaching when he says several times in scripture, he took his apostles aside and told them. He taught them scripture. He spoke to them. All these things, you would think, well, their faith would have to be a whole lot better than the women's. We learn from this account, all the resurrection accounts, the apostles didn't even believe. They didn't believe. These are people who come to Mass, who hear, who do, but here, it's not a real thing. St. John the Divine, the apostle whom Jesus loved, Jesus had a special place in his heart for John. The women go, they see the empty tomb, they go running back, they tell the apostles, and Peter and John run, literally run to the tomb. John gets there first, but he waits. Peter gets there, goes in, comes out, John sticks his head in. And the scriptures say that St. John saw and believed. He didn't trust what Jesus said. And no, he knew scripture. He knew what Jesus had said. It wasn't real for him. It wasn't real for him until he looked in and saw the empty tomb. Then it became real for him. For as yet, they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Our Lord had pointed out the scriptures that spoke about his resurrection. Our Lord told them at least three times that we know that he was going to be raised from the dead. This was explicit. They had heard it. They knew it. They didn't believe it. This is an example of where we should show great caution when the way we approach our faith. You could say, do, hear a lot. You can be like the apostles, with Jesus all the time. But they didn't have a belief. This puts us on notice. These two examples, women with great faith, the apostles who did not even believe, they have to be presented something, then they believe. What we learn here in those two scenarios is that it is imperative to seek our Lord, and when you do so, you bring gifts with you. You show proof that you believe what he said. The women did that. The apostles did not. The women, Jesus is absent. They don't care. They don't care that he's dead. They, by their works, bring these things to anoint his body even further. And the apostles, who should know better, they just sit cowering because they don't want the Romans to get them too. They ran from him when he got arrested. They didn't believe. This is something to learn from a history lesson, because we want to have ourselves in the category of the women, not the apostles up to this point. We learn that it's an imperative to bring good works. When we come to Mass, for instance, when we come to Mass, we are coming, hopefully, with wholehearted desire to seek our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to seek him like the women did. Not just thinking about things, but doing things for him. What do I do when I come to Mass? It's how you present yourself for Mass. You know, I talk about the Eucharist. There are, the week goes by, if you are properly disposed to receive the sacrament. I had to take a little footnote on this one here. The Easter Vigil and the Easter Day Masses, two of the most holy days of the liturgical year, Christmas and Easter. On those two days that are those holy of the liturgical calendar, those days there are more sacrilegious communions received in Catholic churches than any other day of the year. Why? Because people who never show up presume to come up and receive the Blessed Sacrament of our Lord. You're not properly disposed. Oh, Jesus invites everybody to receive. Yes, he does. Correctly. It's like Moses at the burning bush. Jesus invites everybody, just like he did Moses at the burning bush. I want to see this great sight. The bush is burning, but it's not consumed. That's an attraction. That's an invitation. And Moses starts to move that way. And when he gets so close, God says, stop, Moses. Take the shoes off your feet before the place where you are is holy ground. Come, Moses, but come correctly. When we go to Mass, we need to present ourselves at the altar rail correctly. A lot of people don't even know what that, what do you mean correctly? I mean, I feel in my heart, that means nothing. Nothing. Moses is going to say to our Lord, you know, I'm not going to take my shoes off because in my heart, I appreciate that it's holy ground. No, take off your shoes. Moses just didn't take off his shoe. He put his face in the dirt because he realized, we should realize, we come to the Blessed Sacrament. We need to be properly disposed. And there are criteria. You would think this is a no-brainer, but you wouldn't believe what I see. occasionally. You got to be a Catholic. That's like 101 stuff. You got to be a Catholic. How can you receive communion if you're not in communion? Anyway, got to be a Catholic. You have to have maintained a Catholic life. And what that means is going to Mass every single Sunday, unless you're sick or you're attending to someone who is sick or a work of mercy. You must be at Mass on Sundays. You must be at Mass every holy day of obligation. You must have gone to sacramental confession within the past calendar year, and you have to have maintained the Eucharistic fast before you receive communion. This is the taking your shoes off. This is the bringing the ointment. This is the piety that we bring. It proves that we believe what we say. This is what we bring forward to our Lord, like these folks did. A second thing that we see in this resurrection, all the resurrection accounts, the angels that were there. These people who are diligently seeking our Lord, the women. Pope St. Gregory the Great says, "It is immediately obvious that the citizens of heaven may be readily seen by such as go forth with a heartfelt, holy desire to seek the Lord." If you truly seek the Lord, He gives us assistance to do that. Yeah, the Holy Spirit illumines us, He draws us, He directs us, He protects us against error, but we also have the communion of saints, which includes the holy angels and the saints that have the beatific vision of our Lord now. This is readily and undoubtedly something that we just take for granted as Catholics, if you diligently seek our Lord. Because like I said, He will open up all the stops. Angels, the saints. How many people call themselves Christians? Say, saints, what is that? It's Catholics and their communion of the saints. They're just dead people. No, they're not. They're people who are absent from the body and present with the Lord. People who are examples of faith and obedience to Him. Then, angels. These women and the guards at the tomb. Hold the thought. Everybody saw the angels coming. They announced their coming toward Him. They got a vision of angels. They saw. Most of us will not. Maybe you. I'm not that pious. Most of us are not going to ever see a vision of angels. God, by His grace, allowed it this time for angels to manifest themselves to these women and the guards outside the tomb. It's interesting how they presented themselves. Twofold, two sides of the coin. First, they're coming down from heaven. There is an earthquake. That's an eye-opener, right? Have you ever been in an earthquake? I've been in one. It's a very scary thing. What do you do when you start to feel like, whoa, you grab something? You wouldn't believe what it's like to be on the ground and the ground feels like it's going like this. It is a very disconcerting situation. That's going on here. What the heck? What earthquake? And all of a sudden, beings from heaven, faces like lightning. Lightning? Well, what's that about? Because it's bright? No, because it's scary. Lightning is scary. I don't care how old you are, how many thunderstorms. We live in Central Florida, lightning capital of the world. You get used to it? No. When a bolt of lightning hits close to your house, I mean like real close, like a tree outside, your belly drops. Like, what the heck? I ride a motorcycle. I always obey the traffic laws, except when lightning's coming. You know, sitting on a motorcycle and with light, no. It's a scary thing. I don't mind thunderstorms when I'm in a house. It's a scary thing. This is why the Holy Spirit communicates that. There's this fear in everybody. The women and the guards on their face, they are scared to death. On the other side of the coin, though, it says, and they were dressed in white raiment. If God was just wanting them to be really scary, wouldn't they be dressed in like flames and, you know, more lightning just to petrify people, you know, have them groveling on? No. They have white raiment. This is the other side of the coin where we start to see, what is white? It's the color of festivity. It's the color of festivity. Today is the festival, the first hymn today, the processional hymn. Hail the festival day. Well, yeah, we're being festive because Jesus was raised from the dead. It's much more encompassing than that. It's just not about the festival day for Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Although, first and foremost, of course, he has been given, because he was obedient to death on the cross, and overcame death of his own volition, he has been given a name to be exalted above every name, that every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and in hell, that Jesus Christ is God, to the glory of God the Father. This is a given, that that's part of the festival. We never want to lose sight of the fact that this is our festival also. It is something for us that we rejoice over. It is our festival because by his resurrection, he opened to us again the gates of heaven, as I said in the opening prayer for today. A lot of people don't get this one. Before the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, the gates of heaven were closed. Closed. You know, he gets into heaven now because of sin, because of the fall. Gates of heaven are closed. But we have the whole limbus patrum thing, that limbo where even the saints of the old, they didn't get to go to heaven because the gates of heaven were closed. And by his resurrection, he also allows us to have communion with God. I mean, real communion. In the old days, could they pray to God? Yes, they did. Did God listen to them? Yes, he did. But they didn't have communion like we do. I mean, literally communion, like the Eucharist, where we take Almighty God, body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ into ourselves. This is what Christ restored by his resurrection. Because before that, could do it. A lot of people don't get this. Before you are baptized, the gates of heaven are still shut to you. Before you are baptized, you can have no communion with God. This is reality. This is what our faith teaches us. Historically, not a lot of the stuff that you hear anymore, but that's what your faith teaches traditionally. This is reality. It's not just traditional teaching. That's old school stuff. That's reality. We're getting a dose of unreality a lot in our day and age. We have to understand that this is our festival day also, if we understand these things. Because if that's not true, what's the you? What's the big deal? If I'm good, God loves me because of just who I am. That's not true. God doesn't work with everybody the same way. That's another thing we learn from this historical narrative. We learn that he does not work with everybody the same way. For instance, earthquake, angels, lightning. Ah, everybody's on their face. Guards, women. And the angels spoke to the women, fear not. He didn't tell the guards to fear not. And no, guards, you keep your face in the dirt as if you're a dead man. You stay like that. That's the way we want you. These women have diligently sought the Lord Jesus Christ. So they are, fear not. You guys continue to fear. It was because they sought our Lord. Fear not. The angel, these are the words of the angel. Fear not, for I know you seek Jesus who was crucified. The guards were not seeking Jesus. They were just doing their guard job. The Pharisees, the Jews who turned our Lord Jesus Christ over to the Romans. Crucify him, crucify him. Give us the murderer. They said at our Lord on the cross, come down from the cross and we'll believe. Now you would think if Jesus was in a human perspective of fairness, oh, okay, the risen Lord's going to go to the Pharisees and say, see, I rose from the dead. Believe. He didn't go to them. Why? Because they did not seek him. If you seek him, you receive these blessings. If you seek him, you receive this restoration. The guards didn't seek him. The Pharisees didn't seek him. The women did. and subsequently the apostles did also. After they saw, they did believe, and then we know the rest of that story. The men who ran were the men who were killed in the most heinous ways for the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. His disciples seek him diligently, devoutly, not in faith alone, faith and works. The women had faith and they performed works. The apostles, after this point, they had faith and they performed works. This is diligently seeking him. This is what we need to learn. We need to seek him. We need to seek him with Christian virtues: faith, hope, charity, prudence, temperance, justice, fortitude, and their associated works. I have fortitude. Prove it. Prove it. Everything has to be proved. The women proved it. The apostles ultimately proved it. The guards, they didn't prove it. The Jews, they didn't prove it. If you seek our Lord diligently, you will find him. You will find him. He has promised that. You will find the risen Christ, and you will no longer have to fear anything. Because this kind of stuff is scary, really. The gates of heaven are closed to me when I commit mortal sin? Yes. Am I separated from the grace of Christ when I... Yes, you are. That's very scary. But we don't have to fear one thing in this world or in the next if we seek the risen Christ. We seek him and we're ultimately baptized. We seek him in the confessional and he restores as often as he must. This is the glory of diligently seeking him. But it has to be a seeking that is diligent. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.